ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text Number 34.
Varshapuga sahasrante tadandam udakeshayam kalakarma svabhavastho jīvo jīvama jīvayat varṣya puga sahasrante tadandam udakeshayam kāla karma svabhavastho jīvo jīvama jīvayat Varsha Puga Sahasrante Tadandam Mudakishayam Kala Karma Svabhavastho Jivo Jiva Jivama Jivaya.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water, causal ocean, and the Lord of the living beings entering each of them caused them to be fully animated. Purport. Lord is described here as the Jiva because He is the leader of all other Jivas, living entities. In the Vedas, He is described as Nitya, the leader of other Nityas. Lord's relation with the living entities is like that of the Father with the sons. The sons and the father are qualitatively equal, but the father is never the son, nor the son ever father who begets. So as described above, the Lord as Garbhadakshay Vishnu or Hiranyagarbha, super soul, enters into each and every universe and causes it to be animated by begetting the living entities within the womb of the material nature as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.3. After each annihilation of the material creation, all living entities are merged within the body of the Lord, and after creation they are again impregnated within the material energy. In the material existence, therefore, the material energy is seemingly the mother of living entities, and the Lord is the father. When, however, the animation takes place, living entities revive their own natural activities under the spell of time and energy. And thus the varieties of living beings are manifested. The Lord is therefore ultimately the cause of all animation over the material world. (Clears throat) వర్షపూగసహస్రాంతే తదండం ఉదకీశయం కాలకర్మస్వభావస్థో జీవో జీవమజీవయత్. Yes, all the universes remain thousands of eons within the water, causal ocean. And the Lord of living beings, entering each of them, cause them to be fully animated. The animations are very popular these days. And that's considered to be very advanced or very intelligent thing to do. Animations in television, they get different dolls to fight with each other, or they seem to be talking or running after each other. That's the extent of our ability to animate things, which we then sit on the sofa in our and watch our own creation and enjoy or be amazed. Oh, what an animation! Look, amazing! The Disney World in America, their most famous animations are by the Disney World in North America. So we are parts and parcels of the Lord, and like Father, like Son. The ability of the Lord is also in us in minute quantity, and this is what little minute animation that we become the cause of. Or, of course, we create little children. Lord has created all of us, and then we create few children. Lord begets living entities within the womb of material nature. What is that? Mama yonir mahat brahma. Lord makes Mahatattva, that is the womb. And the Lord's glances, He glances upon that total material energy, Mahatattva. In front of Him, He doesn't even have to touch it. Just by looking at it, He does the impregnation, and how many countless living entities, they get animated as per kala karma swabhava. Their karmas, which they had committed during the previous creation, and their bhav, their inclinations, tendencies. So we create few living entities, or few. We don't create living entities, they always exist. We give bodies, become cause of giving bodies to few children. But look at the Lord, how much He could create. Tasmin garbham dadhami dadhami aham sambhavaha sarvabhutanam tato bhavati bharata. He becomes cause of the sarvabhutanam, of all the living entities, and giving them bodies also. First of all, they are His parts and parcels. So whenever it is difficult to stress the history when the living entities were created, mama amshas, from purna, some anshas, some parts and parcels were created, we don't know. It's difficult to find out. So that creation of the living entities, and then later on giving them bodies also, to sarvabhutana, of all the living entities. Yesterday I liked the I never heard this saying, this creation as the Leela, Srishti Leela, Devakinandan Prabhu was explaining. Different incarnations have different Leelas, or even there is a Leela avataras are there. I was thinking, oh, this is also Leela of the Lord. Creation is also Leela. Srishti Leela. And the three Purusha avataras put together are performing this Leela. So what we do little bit, it is not described as Leelas. We also have little creation. Few children, okay, big house, okay, housing colony, or that's the kind of creation. Big bridge we build, or little space, Apollo 8 or Apollo 11, we swim, little Sputnik, they're unlimited ocean. The night time, you see so many planets are floating, like a dust particles float in the air. And then we send little Sputnik floating. So these are tiny creations of the tiny living entities. So they are not described as Leelas. But when Lord performs the Herculean task, big, big tasks. Creation of the universes. Not just one, but unlimited universes. And then within each universe, so many planets and so much variety. And you just... Jai Srishti Gaurinithai ki. For a tiny, tiny living entities as we are, from where we are sitting, or wherever we are existing, from there to take a look at the, you know, at the one universe, and then so many universes, and beyond that is another kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. And how much living entity is tiny, and the tiny living entity's brain is further teeny brain. Prabhupada used to call teeny brain. He would describe, so that teeny brain, how much that teeny living entities, teeny tiny brain, how much that could understand? I mean, what we know is very, very little. There's a planet, and there's a space, so many planets in that space, there's an ocean, and there's a whole world out there or in there, in that ocean. So many varieties of entities in there. I mean, of the total creation of the Lord, all that exists, how much does living entity know? How much do living entities know? Just a fraction. Who was that? I think it was Einstein. He said, the knowledge meaning you admit that how much ignorant you are. If you could admit that I am so much ignorant, means you are kind of knowledgeable. But one who thinks, oh, I know everything, that is how the ignorance is described. One who thinks, I know everything, that's you are ignorant. But if you admit, yes, I am ignorant, in fact, I don't know so many things, oh, he's knowledgeable. At least he knows that he doesn't know. So this one scientist, I think it was Einstein, he was admitting. He said, you go to the beach and you take one sand particle from that beach, Juhu Beach, where Prabhupada used to walk, and then you admit that my knowledge is, you know, this one particle that now I'm holding within my pinch, just one particle, maybe that much or maybe even less than that I know compared to the number of the sand particles are there on this beach, or there are so many beaches also. So how much could living entity know? Not much. So when Lord, he performs his leela of Srishti leela, the creation, then it is just mind-boggling. It is just a chintya, just a beyond the grasp, the capability of living entity to know it. But in order to make living entity knowledgeable, or at least know as much as living entity could know, to the extent they could know, herein, this part, this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the creation has been described. Not just the theory of creation, the facts of creation have been described. I was thinking how Narad Muni, he has gone to the authority in the creation, next to the Lord, or Lord's right-hand man. Because Lord is cause of all causes. That's the chapter here we are dealing with. Lord is cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. So the popular fact is that the Brahma is a creator. But even Brahma had to be first created by the Lord before he creates more things. So Lord is cause of all causes. He's even cause of Brahma, who is a kind of secondary cause of the creation. Lord is, well, Sarga and then Visarga, as we were hearing and understanding yesterday's class also. So Brahma is certainly has a big role. If anyone has a role to play besides the Lord, that is Brahma. He has a big role to play in creation of the Lord or creation of Brahman. So what Narad Muni is doing, he's going all the way to the top person in a top authority in this creation, who is responsible for creation. He goes there with a and says, "Okay, Brahmaji, here are some questions." It's like an interviewing. We heard of those 10 questions yesterday, which are at the beginning of this chapter. Yad Rupam, it's Yad Adhisthanam, and total number of 10 questions were raised. So Narad Muni, who also has an inferior position, he's going to the superior authority. He's going to his father also. Narad Muni is a son, and Brahma is a father. "Oh, father, daddy, could you please tell me, explain to me, be kind upon me." How does he say? Right. So keeping in mind, these things human beings should know. Or they should know these things even as a leela of the Lord. And the creation is leela of the Lord. And oh, my dear father, Brahmaji, and he's asking all these questions. All possible questions that the human beings could possibly would want to know about the creation. Those questions have been raised by Narad Muni. Probably he sat in Badrika Ashram some point and he was making a list. Or these questions probably people from Delhi would ask, these questions from New York, these people from here, there would ask. And he made a list. And Badrika Ashram, because that is his headquarter, Narad Muni's headquarter is Badrika Ashram. Badri Narayan, he worships in Bharat Varsha. Narayana, 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 that's why. When you remember, see Narad Muni, you remember Narayan. Or he reminds the whole world about Narayan. He gives out Narayan. So Badrika Ashram is his place. So when he comes back, he probably prepares. He thinks, he reflects, he plans. So, somewhere he made this list. And then he's approaching Brahma. "And could you please tell us about this creation, these different 10 questions." And what we are hearing these days in the Bhagavatam class, including today's verse, is a reply, is a response to Narad Muni's questions. The person who is asking questions, who has made the list of questions, is a top-notch authority himself. Pure, and he's a representative of all the people. Or he has to go around and, what if someone asks me about the creation? You know, I go everywhere. And I better know. I better be equipped myself with the answers to these questions. Otherwise, it could be a very embarrassing position. As those Yamadutas were embarrassed So Prabhupada writes, you better, if you are representing someone, before you go out there to represent, you better be knowledgeable about the representation or what you have to present. So Narad Muni, he's a world preacher, and he's going to the topmost authority and wants to know all the things about creation. And the answers given are nothing but the truth. If anybody knows about the creation, of course, Lord knows, and there's another person who knows, and that is Brahma, because he's directly involved with the creation. So that person has been interviewed by Narad Muni, and these are the answers to those questions. So, and these are, the facts are facts. This is the truth for all the time to come. And Narad Muni, well, both of them, Brahma, they want to go on record. And that record is here, the Srimad Bhagavatam, several chapters, many, many chapters dealing with the creation, sarga, visarga, very in-depth, mystical also, intrigue is there, and so many great details. And very interesting details about the creation of the Lord. So this is it. In fact, this is, if anyone, anywhere, at any time is interested in knowing about the creation of the Lord, creation which is out there, this is the place. This is the source. You go into Bhagavatam. And the Vedic texts. Upanishad, Puranas. Well, the essence of all that is here in Amal Puran, Srimad Bhagavat Puran. And you hear this, you read this, and you become knowledgeable about the creation of the Lord. The Creator mentioned here is Jiva, Jiva. Jivo ajivam ajivayat. Flows very nicely, sounds even nice. Jivo ajivam ajivayat. One jiva, jiva. Jiva also means life, jiva. Or this is nirjeev, they say. Or this is nirjeev. Or this doesn't have a jeev. This doesn't have a life. So the first person, Prabhupada is describing that person as a leader of all the living entities. And he's also jiva because he's full of life. In fact, life comes from life, which Prabhupada made that bold statement. Life comes from life. So that is right here. Jivo. In the beginning there was a jiva, the supreme living entity, and his cause of all causes, and from that jiva, from that life, the whole rest of the life has come into existence. Hiranyagarbhantaryami. That jiva has been described as Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha. And that is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. That jiva also has been described as Antaryami. Antaryami Krishna. The Lord in the heart. Or super soul. Samsara vyatirikta parameshwaraha. Jiva is samsara vyatirikta, means someone who is beyond this samsara, this material existence. This jiva doesn't come from, it's not product or a creation of this samsara, no. Samsara vyatirikta, and he's a parameshwaraha. Living entities are also samsara vyatirikta. Living entities are also samsara vyatirikta, beyond, from beyond this material existence. But he's not only samsara vyatirikta, but he's samsara vyatirikta parameshwaraha. He's supreme personality of Godhead. And he is creator. Yesterday also word ubhayam, the two had appeared. He creates brahmanda, anda, the egg shape. Anda, egg, brahmanda, brahma mahadyonir. So brahmanda is the universe, and he is also creator of pinda. Another word has been used for the living entity. The brahmanda is a universe, and the anda, one is anda, one is pinda. Anda, brahmanda, that is the material universe, and pinda is each one of us is a pinda. Like we hear, pinde pinde matir bhinna. Or munde munde matir bhinna. Mati means intelligence. Devakinandan Prabhu also was throwing light yesterday how, yeah, each one is different. Our thoughts are different. Everything is different. You could see, he gave a class, and I'm also giving class. He said, if each one of us could give class, and would be talking, talking the truth, but differently. And this is also amazing creation of the Lord. No two persons look alike. There are hundred of you are sitting, and each person is different looking, except who? Jananivas and Pankajangri. Even after 30 years, I can't figure it out. I had to take a few minutes to understand whom I am talking to. Is it, this is Pankajangri or this is Jananivas? I think some Sikha, one has bigger Sikha, small Sikha. There's some difference. This difference is there, but very subtle. So, this is also amazing. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we also hear, it could be true, that from the beginning of creation till now, all the bodies created by the Lord, not two bodies are alike. Not that the present batch, each one is different, but the previous batch and the previous, each batch, no two bodies were created just alike. Be at least some slight difference. Little scar. Something will be different. And this is something amazing that we could sit and just appreciate and become Krishna conscious. If we could just sit and be amazed instead of going to Agra to see the wonder, eighth wonder of the world, he could just sit in Vrindavan and hear about the creation, about the Lord, and be amazed. Such a wonderful Lord is. Not that Krishna's, of course they are, wonderful Krishna. His pastimes are wonderful. This whole chapter Prabhupada gave title as Wonderful Krishna. But he is wonderful Mahavishnu, wonderful Garbhadakshay Vishnu, wonderful Kshirodakshay Vishnu. We don't have to, only appreciate rasa dance and talk about the rasa dance and how amazing and appreciate and relish. But here, the Srishti Leela is also such an amazing thing. You could relish. If you could really go deeper and understand the step by step, the creation of the Lord and the subtleties and the details and the flavor, and it's just amazing thing what Lord does. Amazing, wonderful creation of the Lord. The Brahmand, that anda and this pinda, and all that is in anda is also in pinda. All that is out there is also in this body, in minute quantity. Different elements which are out there, prithvi, aptej, vayu, akash, bhumi, apanala, vayu, come out there, in here also. A little sample of the whole Brahmand you want to sample, just sample your body. And analyze your body. And by knowing pinda, you could know a lot about the anda, the whole Brahmanda. So, what attracted my attention was also, Prabhupada writes in the purport of the second verse of the same chapter. And this is Srila Prabhupada. Contrary to such mental speculative theories of creation, however, Narad Muni wanted to know all the facts of creation in truth, not by theories. So many theories are floating, maybe at the time of Narad Muni also. And Big Bang theories and many other theories are there. And Narad Muni just wanted to smash those or expose those or establish the facts. Not just go by theories, but he wanted to establish the truth about the creation. So Srila Prabhupada, being a representative of all the previous acharyas and Brahma and Narad Muni, he's really wanting to attract the attention of the whole world. Are you interested in knowing how the world was created? And if you say yes, here Bhagavatam is the way. You may be studying theories which is full of mental speculation, but the facts are these. This is spoken by the person who was involved with the creation. Right then and there, the millions of years ago when the creation took place, this person, Brahma, he was right there. Not just witnessing, but he was involved, making his hands dirty. Look, his hands are still dirty. He's holding the microphone, that speaking his interview that I'm asking questions. So, the little, I have not studied Bible in depth study, but what we hear from our devotees with a Christian background is the description of the creation of this world. Of course, the great thing is, which we appreciate, that they admit, of course, the Bible admits that this world was created by the Lord. That's a good thing, first of all. This world was created by the Lord. Not much detail. And he took some 6 days to create. And by that time he was kind of exhausted. And then on the seventh day he took some rest. And that was Sunday. And following in the footsteps of God who took rest on the seventh day, we are also. Of course, we are fighting for more rest. So besides Sunday, now we also have Saturday or half day Saturday. We want to work less and get more pay. Work less, more pay. Or in the beginning there was a sound. This is also coming from the... In the beginning there was a sound, shabda. And this is part of the creation described. We also, from the sound, from shabda, then there's a sparsha, rup, ras, gandh, like that. Each of these five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether has only sound. Ether is the most subtle creation or element, and it has only sound. And the next one has sound and touch, and like that. You go to the next one, there are three things, three sense objects, and the fourth one is... Like, so whatever is written in Bible is also true, giving credit to God, His creation, of course. Come on, it's His creation. He existed before the creation. He was there at the time of creation. He created it. But the only, well, the trouble is, how much could you relish what is written in a Bible? Although that is also Leela, but described in such a summarized way that you cannot really relish, and for the fact, cannot appreciate also, unless you get into the details of the creation, it cannot be appreciated. So, what is in the Bible? Although truth, but not much that you could relish. Because so many missing links are there, and some holes are there, and doesn't make sense sometimes. So, our devotee, this is how devotees explain. So, this is what the Christians have to say. Our Bible has to say. Then very recently I came across a statement from Quran about the creation. They kind of agree with the description of creation which is described in the Bible. The Muslims agree with what is written in the Bible. Only disagreement that they have with the Christians or with the Bible is, they say, hey, come on, you are making our Lord Allah in kind of ordinary person. Because you are saying that he worked for 6 days to create, and then he was exhausted, that he was tired. Come on, God cannot be tired. He's never tired. So, and then he created for 6 days, and seventh day he took rest. They don't agree with this taking rest. Lord and taking rest doesn't go together, they think. And that's the only difference between what Christians and the Muslims have to say about the creation. Of course, both the parties fully agree that Lord has created this world. But because it is... what has been presented in Bible and Quran is not a complete and perfect and in great detail. Some places it doesn't make sense. And that has given rise to the speculations of the scientists. The scientists or intelligent beings, intellectuals, they always want to keep their brains busy and active and do the exercises as others do exercises with the muscles. The intelligent person, intellectual, the brain muscles, their power is in the brain muscles, and they want to keep them fit and active. So they were referring to this Bible Quran theories, and that was not convincing. And then some theory, intelligent theory, had to be presented to the world. So they came up with what is popularly known as theory of creation, which is known as Big Bang. What is the name of the theory? Big Bang. What was big? The bang was big. The sound that explosion made. They kind of talk of some kind of mahatattva. Or the mass of matter was just sitting there. The mahatattva. They don't know or talk in those terms. But the matter was there, and then for nothing, or suddenly, or with no prior cause or notice or any person involved, because there was no person, according to them, before the creation. Just a big bang, big explosion took place, and the whole matter started scattered everywhere and came into a beautiful round-shaped balls and started floating and but that's not the experience. When there's explosion, when the terrorists came. Okay, they also went to the towers, trade towers, and they exploded. They exploded those twin towers. Some beautiful thing came out that you would go and take photographs and enjoy. Oh, what a beautiful creation this is. Or in Japan, Americans, they got the karma back. In Japan, they used their bomb. The most powerful bomb was exploded in Japan and did some housing societies, some planets, some beautiful things came out of that explosion. So experience that we have of the explosions is that nothing beautiful, nothing wonderful, nothing that you could use comes into existence as a result of some small or big bang or some explosion. So with this, we reject, our BI team rejects. I'm sure they have so many other arguments. And who was behind every explosion, there is a person. Either he's right there, lighting the bomb with, maybe crude way of lighting the bomb is you go with a candle, and you light it. Maybe that was being done some 50 years ago. But now you, remote control. But still, there is a remote machine is there and person to push the button is there. So no explosion is automatic or unless some person is involved. So this is how the Big Bang theory is down the drain. I also was thinking how Because what was available to the Western world, the information or views or news of creation from Bible and Quran, that did not satisfy the scientists or the intellectuals. And then they had to speculate and speculate, and they speculated to their heart's content. There was no one to stop them. And generation after generation, they went on speculating and supporting these imaginary theories, Big Bang and some other theories. And they did this because the facts were not available to them. The Bhagavatam theory was not made popular. Of course, all this Big Bang theory, this is all in last 500 years or few thousand years. There was a time that this was a theory. This was a common knowledge. How was the world created? Everyone knew. You could stop anyone on the street and ask them how the world was created, and they would refer to the conversation between Narad Muni and Brahma, or Maitre Muni and Vidur. They knew. Because every student, his schooling began with the Guru's ashram, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Guror Hitam. They all went to Guru's ashram, the perfect Narottamas, purified, thoroughly purified and honest persons as they were. They were only speaking the truth and spreading the truth, traveling extensively wherever there was some black spot, some ignorance somewhere, in some wherever. They would go rush there with a torchlight of knowledge and dispel the darkness by discussing these topics of creation from Bhagavatam and some other Vedic sources. So one time, few thousand years ago, 5,000 years ago, in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, every single human being, practically everyone knew how the world was created. So the present theories are just few hundred year old concoctions and mental speculations, which world is buying because there's nothing substantial being presented. But now that task has begun with Srila Prabhupada entering the field of the whole world with the original facts from Narad Muni and Brahma, which are right there in the Bhagavatam, which are being distributed far and wide. So this Big Bang theory doesn't have a much future. Not much longer into the future, this Big Bang theory would be accepted as something intelligent. Like so many other theories are being challenged not only by Hare Krishnas, but other intelligent beings are challenging theories. One of such theory, very popular theory, is theory of Darwin's theory of evolution, being challenged all the time. I had read such reports in the newspaper before, the challenges and the rejection of the Darwin's theory of evolution, but something very recently, a week ago, Darwin under attack by U.S. school boards. U.S., that's American school boards, are attacking Darwin's theory. Appeared in the front page in Sunday Express on 2nd of January. And of course the writer is whole, his whole news is from America, printed as it is. And God or Darwin, the report says, news says, God or Darwin, choice is yours. And this U.S. school boards, they want to go for God. They want to reject this Darwin. Or at the most, the report says, okay, maybe we could accept this as a theory, but not a fact. Maybe something, let it be there for some more time before it dissolves completely dead. But as a theory, but not as a fact. Report also says, I definitely would prefer to believe that God created me and not the cousin to the apes. I'm not a cousin or a descendant of apes. Apes, the ape monkey, the Darwin is presenting that the most evolved being was apes, monkeys, some 5, 6, 7 thousand years ago. The human being from the monkey using, instead of using all the 4 feet, he kind of stood up, started standing up gradually. And then his 4 limbs became his hands. And he has and his tail went inside from the back. And so these become hands, feet, hand, and no tail. And he stood erect. And this all happened some 6, 7 thousand years ago. And then when human beings, the first edition, first version of human beings, there was such a uncivilized, uneducated, they were just living in the caves, caveman theory, caves. And, they used to fight a lot amongst each other, men of one cave with men of another cave. And they had no instrument, they just used to use rocks, throwing rock at each other. At the time of your battle of Kurukshetra, where you describe those amazing kind of weapons used in Mahabharata war, around that time, actually human beings had just now come into existence and they were just using the rocks, maybe some sticks to beat each other. And there were no towns and cities, and from that time the human being has further evolved and is becoming more and more intelligent, and more civilized human being is the present version of human beings. So, in brief, and in the beginning was an amoeba, when the world was created, in the beginning was amoeba, not Brahma, but amoeba. So that theory, and there are a little more to that, and that's a theory of Darwin's theory of evolution, which was being taught in all the schools and colleges all over the planet, including in India, unfortunately. I'm sure even in Mathura University, Vidyapeeth is teaching the theory of Darwin's, evolutionary theory of Darwin. Vaishnavas never bought such theory. Prabhupada would not even spit at such theories. Why even spit? Waste his spit at such a garbage. He would just use his boot to kick. he wouldn't want to kick the face with his foot, but with a boot only. So one by one, let us maintain some staunch faith and some more patience. And we would realize that all those things which are presented as some kind of the truth all over the world will be exposed, and that they would be proven wrong when they know what is right. And gradually there is a major change. I was talking with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj on the phone just a few days ago. He conducted his world conference, really the scientific conference in Rome, in Italy, just a few months ago, to celebrate Prabhupada's 108th birth anniversary. And he said there are so many scientists, but 32 of them, he has a list of 32 scientists talking in favor of God or God's existence. There was a time, scientist means prove it. Can you show me God? If yes, then okay, then I accept. But now the same scientists are coming to the senses, and gradually there's a global revolution in consciousness. And certainly the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and study of the scriptures, the air is getting filled with the truth, which is defeating the myth. And with that, that truth is inspiring so many individuals all over the planet now. There is a study, first time, Rasaraj was mentioning to me, for first time, you would be amazed to know, I was amazed, first time the research in consciousness is being done. The scientists, some scientists are doing research into consciousness. Consciousness means conscientious. You go beyond, it's not just a matter, something living, something conscious, that they want to study the consciousness. Because they may have whatever different idea what the consciousness is. But at least they are coming to the conclusion that this world is not just a dead matter, as Darwin also was trying to prove. It's a bunch of chemicals, and the interaction of these chemicals, life comes into existence. No, this verse is talking that original jiva, that samsara vyatirikta parameshwaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was full of life, he gave life, he put life into everything else around, the living entities, and got them going, working as per their karma and swabhav and ajivayat. He becomes the cause of giving life to others. Life comes from life. So life is being studied as a consciousness for first time. This is happening. Of course, as you know, in Prabhupada, in Easy Journey to Other Planet, Prabhupada writes, the scientists are coming to the conclusion, if there is a matter, possibly there must be antimatter also. If there's a material, this must be antimaterial, something antimaterial. What is antimaterial? There's a spirit. The matter is matter, and antimatter is spirit. So some scientists are waking up to the reality that it is their good fortune, and good fortune of so many others, because in this day and age, the scientists have become the gurus of the masses. The us gurus or acharya's position has been taken over by the scientists. If scientists say something, everyone, Prabhupada says, double standard here. The sadhu is talking, acharya is talking, and you challenge him, show me, could you prove it? But when scientists say some things, lot of things which are not proven, or the people don't ask those questions anymore, even. Or could you prove it? They're speculations, and they're just blindly accepting this. And Prabhupada, this is a double standard. You are asking us to prove, show me, but you are not asking the similar questions to the scientists to prove it. So it is very important for the spread of this Hare Krishna movement all over the planet. The scientists are a big stumbling block because they are taken as authority and they have presented so many theories, bogus theories. They don't know to begin with that they are souls or anybody is a soul. And to become scientists, you don't have to be man of any kind of character. No. You could be woman hunter. You could be a meat eater. You could be speculator. And what else? What did I miss? Huh? Drunkard. Yeah, you could have a wine bottle in one hand and you are punching your keys and theories you are typing on the screen. And it's fine. It's fine. They be murderer, they may be terrorist, they could be anything. No questions raised. Only their theories are accepted because with those theories you get to exploit this material world and that is when you could be Ishvaro Aham. Then you could declare, not only declare but practically be that Ishwar, the controller, the enjoyer. So it's a good team, right? It's a good team. The scientists are making job easy, facilitating this demoniac nature and giving them how to be the enjoyer, the Ishwaro Aham. So from that Ishwaro Aham status that human beings want to achieve, they want kingdom of God without God. Srila Prabhupada ki. Wonderful Prabhupada. The kind of statements Prabhupada has made. He was the first one to speak this kind of language. This is the most relevant statements Prabhupada has made. So from that position that human beings are taking, Ishwaro Aham, we have to bring them down to Daso Aham. Daso Smi. Not Boso Smi. Boss Asmi. So these theories and the scientists, they are just ego and the exploitation of the world. This is their helping. And as people are being distracted and as a result, in fact, suffering. They want to enjoy the suffering. So the last lecture series Prabhupada gave on the planet in Mumbai was the present day modern civilization is a total failure. Only alternative is Krishna consciousness. This was his topic. From Mayapur he went straight to Mumbai and every day he was roaring like a lion. Although we had to lift him, literally lift him and put him in Vyasasan. But once he was on the microphone, he was getting the audience trembling. He was very bold and outspoken and this civilization is total failure. Only solution is Krishna consciousness. So many myths are being spread. But now the Prabhupada's books are everywhere. Do you know that, I'm sure this is in other places also this holds true, that Delhi distributed 86,000 Bhagavad Gitas in marathon. Devotees of Delhi, Punjabi Bagh, 86,000 Bhagavad Gitas out there. And so like that, this is just one city's score, and wait till you hear about what Bombay did and other temples did, and to distribute books and spread this knowledge. And so this is Prabhupada's program, so that the truth is established this way, dharma, dharma samsthapanarthaya. And then sarve sukhina bhavantu, people could be happy and in a real sense be prosperous. And that's life, that's real life. So let us push on Prabhupada's program, Prabhupada's movement, spreading the holy name, and the Bhagavatam, the knowledge based on Bhagavatam, and this will spread the truth, and the whole world would be benefited. And this is the topmost welfare work, Prabhupada had to say. So it's quite late, so I'll stop here. No questions, no question of any questions at this point. Well, thank you very much. Rigo.